This Just In on MSNBC. Coming up next, Rachel Maddow interviews a confidential inside White House source who has key information that Donald Trump does not cede his torrents.
Oh, what a bitch. I was going to vote for him actually this election, and now I'm not.
Yeah, and you thought Orange Man was bad before. Mm-hmm.
All of my political decisions for the last like 20 years have been basically guided by who's going to be the best candidate for peer-to-peer file sharing. So this is the last nail in Trump's coffin as far as I'm concerned.
Some people say like, oh, I vote for a president I would like to have a beer with. I will only vote for a president I would invite to my private tracker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would only vote for a president who would cede the complete Ren and Stimpy collection, including a copy of the Libertarian Socialist Manifesto.txt for 15 straight years.
I was thinking about this today. All of the classic private torrent trackers are dead. Like, what CD, Pass the Popcorn.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
Pass the Popcorn is still going strong.
Is it really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's doing better than ever. Maybe you just got banned.
Maybe I could try logging in, but I was pretty sure it got banned. But I may have just gotten Netflix.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah, it's possible.
What CD is secretly reborn under a different name?
Mm-hmm. I'm going back on that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't say it on the pod.
I'm not going to. But I can invite you. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this, none of you.
You're not
I will
invited.
Not be inviting yeah. you. I will be I would inviting very Todd. Much.
I was a power user back in the day because I would go to like thrift stores and upload the weird Christian albums. So I'd get upload credits.
People download anything.
People would sample those and make like creepy noise albums out of those.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're personally responsible for Moby's career.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, Todd is where the band Megachurch got all of their Megachurch pastor samples to put over their nice. Math rock metal.
The best kind of metal.
Well, speaking of a megachurch of capitalism, you might say.
Apparently, I would say that.
Apparently, so there was another unarmed black man killed in Philadelphia this time. And there are riots going on in Philadelphia, in New York.
Yeah, big uprisings all across the eastern seaboard, as it seems. Last night in Brooklyn, I saw videos of a bunch of 25, 50 cops like surrounding a car, trying to stop this car, and they just drove over all the cops, and it was awesome.
Is that the one where the cops like smashed one of the windows?
Yeah,
with
yeah.
That ruled.
The guy just kept driving.
I mean, car feared for his life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there you go.
That was actually Lightning McQueen from Cars 2. And a lot of people don't realize he does his own stunts.
Do you think there's a Black Lives Matter in the Cars universe? Do you think that the police cars are shooting unarmed black cars, and then the like white liberal cars are like, no, we need to have non-violent car protests.
Yeah, the Priuses are all like crying about it.
The Priuses are crying because somebody broke the window to the car bucks.
What's the fucking Larry the Cable Guy character?
Mater.
Yeah, Mater, the fucking Larry the Cable Guy character. He would be like a QAnon truck now.
He would 100% have a Blue Lives Matter sticker on the back.
Oh, man.
on his ass.
Like a big white van would be the QAnon car, just like a bunch of them covered in QAnon stickers.
What was that guy who got arrested for?
What was his name?
He had that crazy van.
I mean, 50 years ago? Or I think it was like
Caesar Sayoc.
Yeah, that guy.
Caesar Sayoc.
I know because he's my dad.
He's my father.
Poor Todd. He's been all alone.
He taught me everything I know.
He taught me how to be weird.
He had a pot. He had like a opposite day Beep Beep Lettuce podcast for QAnon guys. It was just,
Beep Beep Q.
It's not, yeah, it was just, it was weed Q memes and Cumunism.
Cumunism.
I don't know.
Cumunism.
But this specifically was the murder by police of Walter Wallace Jr., a 27-year-old black man in Philadelphia who had a I guess, mental health crisis. He had bipolar disorder. And the police were told this by his wife. His wife was like, please don't hurt him. He's going through an episode. And then they still shot him. And then pretty much, you know, that the word got out and Philadelphia erupted in violence as the police started cracking down on the protesters. And then New York and I guess a couple other cities, basically the same thing happened. But what I think is really important to note here is that there has kind of been a lull in looting, right? There have been these brutal crackdowns. Police have been arresting activists left and right, but the protests haven't really been violent, right? The police have been instigating the violence. But Philly, in true Philly style, people were literally like looting big box stores.
Walmart, fuck, specifically.
Yeah. Philly rocks.
Which they kind of haven't been doing for a while. And I think it's important to note because like peaceful protests don't get anything done. You know what does get shit done? Looting and burning a fucking big box store. It's a victimless crime. And it also directly challenges the authority of the police because it exposes them as literally the rent-a-cops of capital.
Well, and it's still nonviolent. Burning down a Walmart is nonviolent. Like, that's right. It's just a normal thing to do. It's just Tuesday or Monday. This happened on
Monday.
We
should always be doing that. You should do it to every single one.
The only guy that actually got hurt in that Walmart was a guy from The Blaze, which, if you guys remember, is Glenn Beck's like knockoff of InfoWars,
yeah,
or Breitbart, or whatever. It's like one of those sites that's basically kept alive by Koch brothers' money. Mm-hmm. And I guess their guy on the ground got like a bloody lip, and he was like, "These Black Lives Matter protesters." He's using Black Lives Matter protesters because he can't use the N-word.
Mm-hmm. Even on The Blaze, they can't say the N-word, man.
Yeah,
PC culture is getting out of control.
I know.
Yeah, it's obviously all Walmarts are arms of flammable. The fascist state, mm-hmm, that are flammable. But they are, you know, I think it's important to recognize that like Walmart is a disease. Walmart is a state sanctioned. I mean, I come to understand like corporations that big are functionally a state. Like they occupy these neighborhoods. They destroy every other economy, every community economy, even other like small capitalist. They just take everything out. Mm-hmm. And they
remember when there was a thing where Walmart was going to have like a pharmacy or a doctor's office.
It's just like basically imperialism.
Like every service that you need. Yeah. They are like, well, you can get it at Walmart. Just anything that like a functional state should be giving to people, like food.
And it's also it's the economy of scale. It's the same reason that Amazon is able to offer products cheaper than other retailers, mm-hmm, and steal their market share, because there's this massive economy of scale where Walmart, it's a race to the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. Capitalism basically forces every entity to race to the bottom to provide the most for the least, sacrificing quality of life for the workers, mm-hmm, along the way.
Well, and like fucking Amazon doesn't even care about how much they charge for their products online, because unlike every other major online retailer, they don't even make most of their money from retail sales anyway. It's like 20% of their revenue. Right. They make most of their money from Amazon Web Services, which is like the backbone of 80% of the fucking internet.
Yeah, they own the fucking internet.
but because they've figured out how to utilize the infrastructure of the United States for private profit, such as the U.S. Postal Service and the roads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you see a shop close, every time you see some business, local retailer, even just a small website go out of business, it's like that is Amazon, that's Walmart, that's Target, that's all of that shit. And
100%, yeah.
And it goes back to what Bryn said. Walmart is a cancer. So, you know, in a roundabout way, yes, it is absolutely good and right to loot and burn a Walmart.
Right. I think that they should. It's also funny because Los Angeles won the World Series last night. Mm-hmm. Was there any protests or rioting or whatever?
No, nobody cares. It's COVID.
Is that
sports.
A big deal?
No, nobody cares.
Is it baseball? Is the World Series baseball?
COVID sports aren't real sports. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's not really. It doesn't count.
The only real sports are darts, lawn darts,
the dangerous game,
billiards and hockey. Those are the real sports. Everything else is fake.
And ultimate, bro.
I think hockey's happening currently too.
Get the fuck off my podcast. Dirty ultimate frisbee player.
But anyway, yeah. So looters basically gutted a Rite Aid, a Walmart, I think a Dollar Tree and Five Below, which is like, look, if you're gonna do that, they can't stop you. You have strength in numbers. Go to the fucking upscale stores. Don't settle for the Five Below, the fucking Dollar Tree, the Rite Aid. Hit up like places where they sell fucking like Versace and Gucci and all that shit.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing about.
Am I wrong? Come on.
Luda fucking Pampered Chef. That thing's a fucking multi-level marketing scheme in the first place. You'd be doing everybody a favor.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing about in New York. There, people were just like in Soho, just taking everything.
Mm-hmm. Rolexes, so fucking designer
literally
clothes.
Literally
like Louis Vuitton shit. Rules. Just like taking it, all of it.
Organize massive carpools to a rich neighborhood and just start ransacking all of their like
idea.
Paneras and you know, gentrifying like cupcake shops and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is very good. I hope that it continues. But I mean, it's like, what's really disheartening about all this is like, this is going to keep happening. Like, there was like, immediately after it happened, what was reported was that this person in Philadelphia had what like ran at the cop with a knife. But it's like, the thing is that like, there was this whole Twitter arguments. People are like, well, if the cops shouldn't actually be there, or they should be trained to, if the someone runs at you with a knife, they should be trained to do that. We don't know if that's real. We don't, it's probably a lie.
Cops lie like, about everything.
We just found out that Michael Reinl, who that's even more complicated, but was just gunned down and murdered. And they said he had a gun, but he didn't. They do it all the time. They literally planted guns on people in Ferguson on video. So don't like get baited into those conversations. It's really not productive. It doesn't matter. The fact is they murdered somebody. It doesn't matter if he had a knife or not.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if cops are such a necessary force and such a necessary evil, I think that they should just be trained to handle all situations with their words. You know, if you're not big enough, if you're not a big enough, tough enough, fucking gritty motherfucker to go out there and express your feelings to criminals in an earnest attempt to get them to change their ways, then fuck you. You don't deserve the badge.
Well, I think the problem with that, John, is if the cops were forced to debate the people they want to murder in the free marketplace of ideas, then those exchanges might later be posted onto Reddit.com/r/murderedbywords. And I'm afraid it would have the same result, although the riots would be taking place in Second Life. But speaking of somebody who could use a Second Life, Joe Biden had a pretty interesting response to the violence here. He said, a reporter asked, what do you say to Philadelphia residents that are outraged by yet another unarmed black man being shot by police? And, you know, you'd assume that, like, you know, maybe Joe Biden would have something to say about unarmed black men being shot by police, the thing that he was asked about. But he actually responded, what I say is there's no excuse whatsoever for the looting and the violence, Jack.
So if you don't know, Joe Biden is a racist rapist who is trying to be the president of the United States. He also is responsible for all of this. Like, if there's one senator, one U.S. politician that you could really squarely lay the blame of the militarization of police, the occupying of black neighborhoods and cities by a militarized police, it's Joe Biden and maybe Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, I mean, like, also Ronald Reagan. But in terms of people who are like still alive and still active in U.S. politics, 100%, it's Joe Biden.
It's Joe Biden. He wrote the fucking crime.
He's the only one that's still alive in U.S. politics.
Yeah. Well, Strom Thurmond was actually the first person in history to choke on his own racism, but the rest of them are correct.
Yeah, he's the architect of this whole world we live in, and the idea that anybody wants him to be president right now is absolutely insane. But I mean, obviously, if you know anything about Joe Biden, this is clearly what he would say, is that I don't support black people. I don't think that anybody should ever attempt to challenge a cop's authority. Don't ever do that, because I will keep the status quo and support it and strengthen it.
But speaking of something that is actually important, your fridge. What's in it? The answer could shockingly determine whether you vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump, according to this new New York Times quiz, which is just the most insane thing I've seen today.
My favorite thing about this is that this guy tweets, this guy who is comms for something called the Coin Center. He's like a crypto guy.
A cryptocurrency think tank. Oh my God.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, just a great guy. Really cool dude. But he
this
says,
is literally this just is- like... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He says, this is genuinely the most interesting journalistic project I've seen in ages.
Oh my God.
And the New York Times look at any journalism
made
except
a quiz. So this is basically a, you know, literally a BuzzFeed quiz just on the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Try the quiz. Look at these fridges. Tell if this person is voting for, is one of the two kinds of political actors in America. Are they voting for Trump or are they voting for Biden?
It's 100, and spoiler alert, it's 100% class-based.
Well, yeah, like the Biden voter picture is literally just somebody who either went to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, and the Trump voter picture is just somebody who didn't and also likes soda.
I'm sorry, I'm taking the quiz right now, and I mean, I think that the examples that they gave in the tweet are very much like what you'd think, like this person has beer and worms in their fridge or whatever, but like
worms,
it's,
oh, like
absolutely,
the fish.
It's absolutely fucking random. Like there was
it's not a quiz that tells you which one you should vote for based on what's in your fridge.
No.
It's you looking at people's fridges and assessing their politics.
Yeah. And so I'm doing that. And one, like you said, Todd, had like, you know, Earth Balance fake butter and like these wicker shelves in it and stuff. And so I was like, I clicked Biden. And it was like, nope, that's actually a Trump fridge. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
Probably so like then, a suburban.
Then
like,
on the next
mom.
One, I clicked Biden. And it was like, oh no, the next one I clicked Trump again, and it was like, can you click to one before you showed the answer, can you click to an object that says Trump to you? So I clicked the milk and it like and it like circled it, and it was like, actually it's a Biden fridge.
Milk is Trump.
I don't know what the fuck, man. This means, Biden fridge.
This is the silliest shit in the entire world. And like, it also just ignored, like, there are crunchy conservatives out there. There are weird libertarians who probably eat a vegan, free range, all, you know, keto, whatever diet, and they still fucking vote for Trump. Like, it doesn't matter.
What do you think Alex Jones' fucking fridge looks like?
Yeah,
like,
he's rich.
Like, it's probably, first of all, the size of a car. Uh-huh. Second
That's
of all,
right.
Big enough he can fit inside it, and he's a big boy.
Alex Jones seems like a deep freeze guy, but instead of being like a normal person with one deep freeze in their garage or something, he just has a room of like deep freezers where he has like several years worth of protein stored away.
Mm-hmm. He's just always pulling something out and defrosting chicken to cook right out of his fridge.
If you got jars and jars full of cum with various small plastic toys from children's TV shows inside the cum jars, you might be a Trump voter. I'm sorry.
This is nonsense.
Yeah, it's like astrology.
It's random.
This is
worse than
astrology.
It is
amazingly more misleading and misguided.
Yeah,
worse than astrology.
This makes me feel like, you know, when you see like a group of cops like in a donut shop, like digging around, and it's like, obviously you're angry to look at them because they're fucking disgusting cops, but you're also kind of like, well, I'm glad that they're wasting time doing nothing instead of like going out actively oppressing people. That's kind of how I feel looking at this article. Like, they could be manufacturing consent for another coup or something, or writing some racist bullshit. At least they're just doing complete nonsense.
No, the thing is, because this is deeply ideological, because it is replacing any semblance of politics with aesthetics.
That's true.
Because as we approach the election, politics has become a completely aesthetic exercise, even more than it was before.
Yeah, this is nonsense.
It makes me want to do that Zizek quote about the different toilets in France, Germany, and England, except it's about Biden fridges versus Trump fridges. We go somewhere as simple as the kitchen fridge, we are confronted again by ideology.
Well, speaking of being confronted by ideology, both Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter today came out with special announcements for everybody using those apps.
Like, the moon is wet.
Yeah, no, they put out like a pop-up that you have to dismiss. If you go on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, that says, basically something along the lines of, election results might be delayed. I'm reading from the Twitter one right now. With the increase in voting by mail, there might be a delay in the announcement of election results. This means you could encounter unconfirmed claims that a candidate has won their race. This is this is not a news article. This is not coming from any sort of like journalistic source. This is the social media networks themselves saying, hey, you're going to have to wait until after November 3rd to get the results of the election. Mark Zuckerberg even went on Axios on HBO and said, quote, what we and other media need to start doing is preparing the American people that there is nothing illegitimate about the election taking additional days or weeks to make sure all the votes are counted. We've said before on this podcast that it is basically impossible to actually, like, you know, for your vote to actually matter, because at the end of the day, it's somebody in the pressing a button in the fucking basement of the CIA that chooses who wins the election. But in this case, I truly believe that the Democrats are teaming up with Silicon Valley to literally rig the election for Joe Biden by basically on November 3rd, whatever happens, happens. And then in the coming days and weeks, they once again will say, nope, results illegitimate. We found a bunch of votes.
Well, I mean, they could be rigging it for Joe Biden, but in a broader sense, I think they're just trying to establish that, like, the next election is going to be legitimate, right? Because if the election is perceived as fraudulent, that could lead to, like, some pretty devastating
and
destabilizing consequences that would take their precious money away. So to me, in a lot of ways, it's something like, you know, like the AFL-CIO, for instance, as diseased of an organization as they are in many ways, a lot of their member unions and regional groupings are, like, trying to push for a general strike vote if the election is too messy, or if Trump doesn't cede power after Joe Biden wins or whatever. And I think that, like, just indicators like that are enough to really scare these Silicon Valley guys and make them think, oh shit, my fucking Saudi oil money might dry up soon.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg specifically said in that little, like, Axios clip, he was like, well, you know, if people don't trust the election results, that could lead to civil unrest. So we want to prevent that.
Imagine if we had civil unrest in the middle of a pandemic.
I don't want that at
all. Every fucking month, the fucking occupying military kills an innocent person in the street. Yeah. What would happen if we had civil unrest?
What would happen if there was a Cheeto in the White House? They wouldn't leave.
What would happen if there was some, for some reason, people maybe weren't going on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter quite as much, and our ad revenue went down because people were in the streets fighting with each other? That we can't have that. We need to manufacture consent for a narrative where the election results are legitimate so that people accept them on both sides. Which I don't know if that's actually going to work personally.
But
it is it does lend itself to my theory that the Democrats are setting themselves up to lose and win at the same time, just like in 2016. Let me explain.
I hear you.
In 2016, right? Hillary lost, didn't expect to lose, but the past 4 years have been extremely lucrative to the Democrats. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and other Democrats like them, basically corporate scum who feast off of children's blood and actively make your life materially worse every day that they continue to be alive. They've made a ton of money because of Trump. They make tons more money under Trump presidency than under a Democratic presidency, because they can't pretend like it's they're living in Nazi Germany when there's a Democrat in the White House. But when they have Trump in the White House, who ostensibly is not any worse than George W. Bush, I mean, he's pretty bad, but he's not really any worse than George W. Bush, who was really fucking bad. Don't let them rehabilitate his ass. But I think that the Democrats are basically setting up this coup because they want to have plausible deniability that they tried. That not only did they try to win legitimately, they also tried to win illegitimately. And what they want to do is once again manufacture a narrative after Election Day that the results are illegitimate, but Trump is going to retain power like they did in 2016. Because what have they been screaming for 4 years? The results of the election are illegitimate. Hillary won the popular vote. The Electoral College is a sham. Russia did it. Everything like that. And yet Trump remains in power. They didn't actually do anything materially. It's all lip service. It is all a charade, and it is all to win more dollars out of the pockets of Democrat voting rubes.
Well, and they're not even creative. They only know how to do what they've done before that didn't fucking work in the first place. But it doesn't matter. They can only fail up, you know? They can only fail in one direction.
Well, that's why I think it's important, because I mean, you're right, Todd, in that there, I believe there's been studies that the Democratic Party and their donors actually make more money when they're not in power.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They definitely get more donations.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just mean like, I think I've read studies and like data that shows that specifically. So it's of course they don't, they're incentivized to lose.
Yeah.
Like everyone always talks about, or especially people like fucking wonks and freaks like Aaron Sorkin are always like, the Democrats are always losing, so why would anybody want to vote for them? You got to like act tough and win or whatever. But it's like, they don't want to. They don't care.
Yes. It's
they
always
literally
been controlled
don't
opposition.
Matter because
why would you think otherwise now?
Right. Especially now. Yeah. And it's also like, you know, they get to always play the underdogs, right? Like they're the little, exactly. They're the little weak, the weakling kid on the playground who like has a goodness in his heart, against the big bullies, the Republicans. And they can always be like, and then when they're in power, they don't do anything.
Obama in power was like, now that I'm have power, I should make friends with the bullies. Maybe they'll be nice to me now that I'm as buff as they are. And then they just kept tripping him.
They let Amy Coney Barrett get confirmed with literally absolutely zero pushback.
They didn't do anything. Yeah.
It happened in like a fucking week. It's insane.
They didn't kneel with kente cloths on again.
That especially is, I would say, supporting evidence to my theory that they're once again going to put on the theater of putting up a fight, but in the end, let Trump retain power, because they let Trump put another justice on the Supreme Court. And now that's probably going to come into play when he declares certain votes after a certain date illegitimate, and it's another repeat of 2000 where the courts get involved, and basically the Democrats are going to say, hey, we did all we could, but the courts said, the courts that we begged you to vote for us so we could, you know, because of RBG, but he put Amy Coney Barrett, there was nothing we could do, the courts said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
man, like Chuck Schumer's like speech after she got confirmed is so funny. He's like, you may have won the day, but you're losing all credibility. The American voter will never forget the sham you've made. It's some fucking like,
we fought against the day and we won.
It's so like they really think that like anyone in that party cares about this, and also that anyone in the American public like is fucking like moved by them being like, can you believe the fucking audacity they have to desecrate our process? It's like, nobody fucking thinks the process of any of this is legitimate or real,
especially when you have millions of people for a whole year protesting in the streets. Like, anyone gives a shit about fucking decency or process? Like, they want you all to burn. We all want you to be on fire, and the more days that you're not on fire, the angrier we will become.
Keep donating to politicians like AOC, the Squad. It's like, all that money goes to the same fucking place.
Really,
it's just
pushing the Democratic Party left.
AOC is just Nancy Pelosi in Forever 21.
Yeah, I mean, like, until proven otherwise, like until those four bitches fucking break off and make an actual revolutionary party, they are my enemies.
That's correct.
I don't give a shit. They can say nice things and I'll be like, good job saying a nice thing. Like, that's nice for the fucking discourse on Twitter or whatever, but fuck off if you're going to be a Democrat.
Well, speaking of, and this is actually very relevant because it kind of has to do with just being on a runaway course and having no control over what's happening. 9/11, flight 93, we all know as the plane that was destined, I think, for the White House or something, but didn't make it because the passengers tried to take the plane back from the hijackers, and they all ended up dying, crashing in a Pennsylvania field. Mm-hmm. Scott Galloway, who is a professor.
That's the official story, by the way.
At UCLA, UC Berkeley. No, you definitely do not believe the official government narrative on Flight 93.
Yeah.
We can maybe do an episode of that about that soon. Maybe after the Boogaloo dies down. Scott Galloway's bio includes product of big government. I don't know what the fuck that means. Professor of marketing at NYU Stern, Professor G Show, Pivot Pods, banned from CNBC, Strategy, Sprint, Section 4.
Banned from CNBC?
But he had an incredible tweet about voting today saying, whenever I do this, referring to the picture he had posted of a selfie, middle-aged man-style selfie of him mailing in his ballot, I think of Flight 93, 9/11, in parentheses.
It's weird.
How did the passengers decide whether to rush the cockpit / hijackers and attempt to retake control of the plane? They voted.
They fucking voted, folks.
They went into a ballot box I built in the bathroom, and they all checked a little box, and then one of them counted it, and they were like, well, I guess the rush the cockpits have it. And the terrorists were like, no, not voting, our worst nightmare.
Mohammed Atta is electable if you vote for him.
Yeah, we wish you wouldn't do that. That ruins all of our plans to crash this into the White House.
I mean, that's the most crashing
this plane with no survivors.
That's the most obviously fake thing about the narrative, right? Is that they all voted, because then it's just like, oh yeah, that ties so neatly into the whole narrative of we're going to bring democracy to the Middle East now. People who are so alien to democracy that they can be taken down by a simple raise of hands vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's so disgusting, because it's like, first of all, if let's my take on if the 9/11 story about Flight 93 happened, you're saying that fucking writing in a piece of paper in a completely legal way that actually means nothing is the same as like bum rushing people trying to kill you. Like,
yeah.
And then dying, and then like fucking dying in a blaze of glory, saving the White House. Like, even if that's
everyone died.
Yeah. Even if that's your like belief that that's what happened, that there were people on the plane, and then there were terrorists on the plane, and then a bunch of normal people saved the plane by killing themselves, you're comparing yourself to that because you voted for Joe Biden. Insane. Baby brain.
Yeah.
Idiot. But that didn't even happen.
Yeah, like, does this guy take a picture of himself playing paintball? And he's like, whenever I do this, I think of D-Day. They fucking shot people with things that look like guns, and I'm doing that too. And then he shoots a fucking target with his paintball gun.
Every time
just flying his fucking drone around the town, around his house. And he's like, every time I do this, I think of Pearl Harbor and the Lusitania.
Next time there's a women's march, I'm going to like knit one of those pussy hats or whatever. And I'm going to wear it, and then I'm going to post a tweet that says, every time I do this, I think of Fred Hampton.
every time I knit this pussy hat, I think of Emmett Till and how, look,
you should believe women.
Do I even have to elaborate?
Yeah.
Oh man, every time I'm on
I'm like that.
Every time I'm on the Chase Bank Pride float at the corporate sponsored Pride, I'm like, this is just like Stonewall.
This is just like Harvey Milk.
Yeah.
I got assassinated. You fucking dumbass.
I'm being assassinated for my beliefs.
Dullard. How dare you? I mean,
this guy is a professor of marketing. Isn't he supposed to know what kind of messages make you look like a huge moron?
Fucking professor of marketing. That's why he calls himself a product of big government. He can't even like gesture that he appreciates state programs without being like weirdly like commodity fetishist about it. He's I'm a product. I'm available on the shelf. You know, I'm the name brand.
Mm-hmm. And he's a big government. Is he trying to take back like being a big government liberal or whatever?
Oh, libs love that.
Absolutely.
He's trying
to be like a capitalism positive social democrat. That's what he's trying to do.
What a fucking dipshit.
Fucking kill yourself, dude.
Speaking of
social media being absolutely on one, and speaking of people who should kill themselves, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey apparently said on C-SPAN that Holocaust denial is not considered misinformation and does not violate the platform's policies. This was in the context of him basically saying, like, look, people argue in bad faith and you got to let them, especially, you know, in order to have a healthy dialogue. That was basically his point.
Yeah, I watched him talking about this, and I found it a little bit confusing as to what he was even trying to say, because he says, like, So he pushes him on it and he's like, you're saying the Holocaust denialism is fine? He's like, well, it's misleading, but it doesn't, by our rules, because he's doing this sort of like,
then
same
change
kind
the
of,
rules, you stupid
yeah,
fuck.
He
aren't
makes
you
the
CEO
rules.
Of the company?
Yeah. 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 I think he was like, well, we have three categories for misinformation. You can't say stuff that like suppresses the vote or something like that. You can't say stuff about public health like COVID. And you can't say, I forget what the third one was.
Well, I've gotten suspended for a lot of things that were not those things.
Well, this is
you're getting killed by the Nazis as part of the public health, I would argue.
Here's the fucking problem.
Public health, yeah.
Because Jack Dorsey says that this kind of shit is not against the Twitter terms of service, but my good friend, the Posting Menace, got banned for saying Joe Biden raped him, which is ostensibly true.
You don't know that.
Yeah, Joe Biden is a rapist. Maybe he did. That's very funny, though. So what do I go out?
Like, if this is not... that's the fucking thing, because the social media standards and rules, they're applied unevenly based on who is profitable to the platform. If, you know, a controversial, like, Holocaust denying figures on the platform bringing in hate clicks and getting them ad money, they're going to let them continue to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, American culture is so fucking biased on that. Like, that's already so overrepresented, and also in, like, the most vulgar, like, base form, like the most perverted form of free speech is the dominant one here. Like, when people talk about free speech and being able to say whatever they want, I just assume they've seen too many fucking episodes of South Park until they form like a semi-coherent argument to convince me otherwise. Because there are like justifiable things where it's like, yeah, there are definitely people whose voices are suppressed, but in the order of prioritizing them, I think Holocaust deniers should probably be like bottom 10 on the list. You know,
well, here's the point I'm trying to make as far as free speech absolutism should be a principle of the left. It's like in at the end of the day, like, you know, if leftists had any power, Jack Dorsey would be in a cell and social media algorithms and rules would be public domain. We would actually be able to know what goes on in the black box that determines if you're allowed to post or not.
It would finally become, you know, a clear box.
Letting somebody post that they think the Holocaust didn't happen to us is what, to a Zionist, is, you know, somebody saying Israel is doing apartheid, right? Like, it is kind of a converse thing. However, it's profitable for them to ban people who say the second thing, but not the people who say the first thing, right? So under capitalism, under Jack Dorsey, it is applied unevenly. So what I'm saying is, like, in this situation, it's fucking stupid. But if you want to have an actual dialogue about things and not be censored by people whose profit depends on censoring you, then you do kind of need to have free speech as a principle of your left beliefs.
Well, that you raise an interesting point, because it's almost, to me, it's not like how much free speech do I have, or like, are we moving towards an absolute ideal of free speech? It's literally just like, there's always going to be some mediation and some censorship of speech in one form or another. Every way of arranging society has it. So the real question is just, who's in charge of it? Like, who gets to mediate the way that we discuss things in public spaces? And the answer is definitely not Jack fucking Dorsey.
Well, that's who gets to mediate it now, but it shouldn't
it absolutely shouldn't be. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Like I said, I mean, any large enough corporate, like, we live in a fascist, we live in the Fourth Reich, right? Like, we live in a place where the dream of the Nazis, where this everything is the state, and everything has become the state. And so Twitter controls your behavior just as much, if that's the argument you're making, right? Because, like, I can say right now in the privacy of my own home, like, the context of speech matters. Like, if I say in my privacy of my own home, I'm going to kill Joe Biden, like, that doesn't, no one's going to show up and arrest me. But if I say on my podcast and I detail out, like, what I'm going to do, they might look into me. If I go on Twitter, I might get banned. And those things are different. Like, being arrested by the Department of Homeland Security versus being banned on Twitter are, like, different consequences. And so, like, I agree that, like, the state, but I agree that, like, they can, like, kind of count as the state. And if they can silence you from participating in, like, the social commons, like, that is a punishment that matters. And I don't think they should have that power, but, like,
exactly. If somebody makes their living on social media and censoring them from social media, you're taking away their livelihood. You're taking away their income.
I guess so. Does anybody make their money on by tweeting? I guess somebody does.
I'm talking about getting banned from OnlyFans because you questioned whether it was really possible for them to incinerate 6 million Jews.
Could you? Oh man, I'm imagining now like Milo Yiannopoulos is like, wait a minute, there's no terms of service on OnlyFans about content other than sexual content. I'll be in my most dapper clothes and I'll say the Holocaust was fake and they can't stop me.
Well, I don't think
just the fucking deranged, like right wing grifter version of uploading full seasons of old cartoons to Pornhub.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I think that, you know, the concept of free speech absolutism to me is like not real, mm-hmm. but like in terms of that, yeah. like in terms of being in a fascist hellscape, like if it requires people to not be banned on Twitter like Laura Loomer so that I'm allowed to tell you know a cop to go kill themselves, like exactly. sure, whatever, but that doesn't yes. matter, like I mean I don't think it matters as much as like, you know, getting investigated by the CIA for saying that we should overthrow the state, like, which is going to happen to one of us eventually.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it yeah. already is.
Or even more egregious crimes against our podcast, like copyright striking our episodes because of unlicensed music at the end.
How dare you? If you do that to me, I'm coming to your house. With All right, don't beep this part out.
Come to your house for
speaking
a party.
Speaking of grievous miscarriages of justice, a New Hampshire woman is apparently accused of impersonating a prosecutor and dropping criminal charges against herself. To this, which we oh say,
she's accused of party rocking too hard.
Queen.
You might say.
That's right. Yeah, and I mean, like, no offense to this woman, but you look at the photo in the article and it's like, yeah, she doesn't really look like a federal prosecutor. She must have done a pretty good job cleaning up.
But she looks honestly, like she's a fun. She looks fun.
She looks cool. Yeah,
yeah, she does
looks
look
like
fun.
She can. She looks like she can do a keg stand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But apparently she had a drug possession case and a stalking case against her. And so she just decided to dress up like a federal prosecutor, whatever that looks like. And I don't know. There's not a lot of details in here other than she submitted fake documents. So I don't know if she came up with like a fake name badge, if she got a whole get up.
She kind of looks like that woman who sang the Les Mis song and won the special award show.
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
Norm MacDonald.
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, Susan something. Yeah, it was Susan Sarandon. That's why libs hate her so much, because she sang Les Mis.
But yeah, so this is awesome. Everyone should do this. I'm sure she got in a lot of trouble for it.
Unfortunately.
But it seems really good. It seems like a really fun... It says that her history includes criminal charges in Manchester. Is this a...
New Hampshire, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was England or a different Manchester. The new Manchester. You guys heard about this new Manchester that's in America now?
Manchester and cool Manchester.
Yeah. The file purported to contain a null prosequi drop of the charges filed by Assistant County Attorney Patrice Cassian. But it quickly became evident to the state that the document, as well as other documents in the file, had been filed fraudulently. I wonder if that, how well... I would love to see this file. Like, did she do a great job?
Because it seems like she got caught pretty fast, but she didn't get caught immediately. It's like she put it in the file and someone was like, oh, I'm supposed to drop the charges. Like, is it as simple as printing out a thing that has, like, a letterhead and, you know, is formatted kind of like an official document?
Steven Spielberg
I figured out who I was thinking of that this person looks like. She looks like Betsy Sodaro.
Okay.
I don't really know who
that is. If you've seen that show,
I think she's a UCB alum. She's in like, she's like a B actress in like comedy.
She does look like her.
Oh yeah. I know this actress.
Let's look at her kind of.
She should be impersonating Betsy Sodaro, walking onto a film set like, what's up, guys? Ready to go.
Like, I have a terrible memory for celebrities. You could show me any photo of any celebrity and I'd be like, yeah, I kind of know that person.
I've heard of
but
that.
But anyway, yes, doing this is good if you can figure out how to impersonate, like, just use the state's apparatuses of power. Use them to your advantage.
Any chance you get.
This person is a hero. And they're probably going to get fucked by the law.
Yeah, this lady like, rocks.
Yeah. If you can figure out how to do this, do it. Just fucking buck the fucking yoke of the state apparatus around your neck. Do it however you can.
Buy a keg for a fucking law student and get them to fill it out for you so it looks fucking official. Go to a county or a state to file your documents that is a little bit like less competently administrated, for instance. Like, just take a few additional steps and this could work. It's probably working all the time and we don't know it, because why would you come forward with this after you're successful?
The only thing this person did wrong was getting caught.
That's correct. Yeah.
And if she has also, a bail fund...
methamphetamine is probably a bad move. I just gotta say. So, speaking of absolute fucking heroes, we have another one for you. There's
little
a rooster.
Jerry Seinfeld.
That's right. There's a rooster from a cockfight fighting ring in the Philippines, affectionately referred to all over this article as a fighting cock, who apparently...
Wait, so are the roosters fighting the cocks, or is it the other way around?
It's just cocks fighting cocks. It's just a massacre. It's just an orgy of violence.
Cocks on cocks.
All
fighting
over,
cock,
that's
a pretty
right.
good bourbon. $10 for a bottle? Not half bad.
But yeah, I mean, the damage was done apparently when this police chief was kind of collecting these cocks at the end of this cockfighting ring bust. And I didn't know this about cockfighting. Yeah, he was collecting cocks. I didn't know this about cockfighting, but apparently they equip these roosters with a little knife that they kind of jam onto their foot so that they can kick at each other and it will like kill the other bird.
Yeah, I didn't know this either.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I guess it would take so long for two birds to like peck each other to death.
Often to the death between two colorful birds armed with bladed spurs. Because I assumed they just like sharpened their claws or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like let them fight. Like animals can kill each other all the time.
They've got like Freddy Krueger shit on their hands.
Yeah, yeah. But they need a little extra juice. I don't know if what...
This is in the Philippines, right? Where the police are essentially a fascist eugenicist force occupying the country.
Unlike
here. This is Duterte's fascist Philippines that this raid occurred in. So anybody who's fighting the police, even if it's to do something as inane as cockfighting, I mean, bravo. It kind of like the spurs thing is crazy to me. It reminds me of that picture on the internet of like two lobsters with knives taped to their backs on the floor.
Hell yes.
The same thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so apparently they're putting knives on their little chicken feet so that they can hurt each other, and the cop, this dumb cop, apparently didn't know that, and he tried to pick up this chicken and the chicken fucking sliced his femoral artery and the guy fucking bled out.
Owned, sir.
I mean, if you know anything about that, you can bleed out in like 30 seconds.
Get fucking wrecked.
If you don't know how to treat
it. Femoral artery. God damn.
Yeah.
It's like on your leg, right? Like up in his thigh. Oh, man. Yeah, if it was off a little bit, it would have just been like a shitty cut in his side or something, but right in the fucking artery.
Right in the fucking artery. And then, so we're not supporting cockfighting.
BP Lettuce is taking a strong pro-cockfighting stance.
That's right. That's 100% correct.
Look,
John has sold ad space on our next 100 episodes for those little knives they put on the roosters.
We are Marxist, which means we care about the...
Marksmanship.
Which means we care about human beings' relation to the mode of capital. Animals, fuck 'em.
Fuck animals. Well,
that's kind of related. This isn't in the notes or anything, but I saw an article recently that was like PETA is trying to get people to boycott a coconut milk brand because apparently some of their coconuts in Thailand are harvested by monkeys. And they think the monkeys are being exploited.
If the monkeys are paid a living wage, I think that it's fine.
If that's I'm buying that guy.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know, not to be mean to monkeys, but isn't like if they have enough food, that seems like a living wage. Like if they're being fed.
I'm okay with monkey slavery.
I know, it's like
I'm not really, but the thing is just like I feel like I have bigger priority. Like there's bigger fish to fry. There's like there's more injustices than I could fix in 100 lifetimes before I would ever get to like fixing monkeys harvesting coconuts.
Monkey wages.
Yeah, I mean, if you care about
what if
like
they pay them.
Yeah, and if you care about exploitation of primates to get your food, like there's plenty of humans who are exploited to pick your beans or whatever.
What if
those are humans and the humans they like have free will and they chose to be poor and paid less than a living wage. Mm-hmm. Like it's about personal choice.
Yeah.
No, if your brain is well developed enough to use tools,
they're poor.
If your brain is well developed enough to use simple tools, your brain is well developed enough to be exploited, and that's the end of that.
That's the end of the. I just want to say I was joking about monkey slavery. I don't think that that's good. However, I do think it sounds kind of cute to imagine.
I think monkey slavery is asking the monkey to do work for you.
Monkey slavery is that what they're calling the presidency now?
Got his ass.
I kind of wish I could return to monk and just like and just climb a tree and pick coconuts all day.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, the thing is, like, okay, to be fair, it does. PETA, I don't know if I trust them or not, but they do seem to indicate that the monkeys are like chained and they have to like go fed. You know, it's not like a great situation. Okay. Like nobody takes care of exotic animals, takes good care of them. Haven't you seen Tiger King?
True. Haven't you seen? Yeah, the best show of our lifetimes as millennials.
100%.
Yeah,
speaking of that, there are big Tiger King Trump please pardon Tiger King billboards in Pennsylvania now.
Oh, I would read the entire plot. No.
Prison abolition starts with Joe Exotic.
You can't pardon Joe Exotic. This is a reality series that I actually care to follow, and he needs to be continually shit on for this plot to keep working. Otherwise, I'm just going to bail after like another season.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is there another season coming?
It's always happening. Just Google his name.
You're living in Tiger King right now, Todd. That's right. Your whole life is the show.
You best start believing in Tiger Kings because you're in one.
You're in one. Well,
did you see that like multiple stores stopped selling that brand? It's like Costco is the latest retailer to drop Chocoa coconut milk over allegations of forced monkey labor, PETA says.
Wait, what? There's not even proof?
No.
I think there's videos maybe. Like, there's it's on PETA's website, so whatever you
forced
trust
monkey labor. What if the monkeys are having a good time?
What if they love it?
What if they're wearing little hats?
There's libertarians like, what if the monkey consents though? The monkey didn't violate
to wear that shade.
Look, if a monkey wants to jerk you off, it can do it. That's fine. That's not illegal.
PETA suing for forced monkey prostitution.
That's a real thing. Didn't they shave that orangutan?
That is a thing. I've changed my
mind on my priorities completely. Human rights start with monkey rights. We gotta focus on this. We're just very advanced monkeys after all. The real revolutionary is chimpanzees who have learned sign language.
It's time to return to monkey folks. Which what we mean by that is return to talking about the monkey in chief. We're talking about Trump, folks. He had a rally in Omaha, Nebraska, where I guess apparently there were massive parking lots 15 miles away from the airfield where the rally was held. So supporters were bussed from the parking lots to the airfield, and they had a wonderful time. They played that video where it's like a slowed down version of Linkin Park, and the
hilarious,
it's so good,
it's insane.
Wait,
it's
we should
triumph
describe
of the
that
will
a little.
Propaganda. Yeah, no, it rules. It's Lenny Riefenstahl for the fucking social media Instagram era.
Yeah, no, it's so there was a little bit of a story around the video they played. We're not actually talking about that, but the video they played to introduce Trump was psychotic. Like it looked
In a good way.
It was a cover. Really cool. Yeah. No, in a sort of Slipknot psychosocial way. Mm-hmm.
Imagine Trump walks out and there's like a Joey Jordison playing drums and two guys in masks just like banging on a fucking empty beer can.
And the rain.
I might have to vote for him if he did that.
Look, that's what I'm saying, Chris. If like at this point, if Trump came on stage to Electric Feel by MGMT, I would just vote for him. Fuck it.
So this was, he came out on stage to, I believe, Linkin Park. What song was it?
In the End.
One thing. Yeah, In the End.
But it was like slowed down and the lyrics were changed. So it's like he never says in the end, it doesn't even matter. It's like he says, I tried so hard and got so far. And then it just skips to the next part, like more badass music plays.
And then I won because I'm awesome.
Yeah, that's the moral of that song.
Oh my God, that rules. It's also like really good. I mean, like, come on. Look, if you can afford the best sound designers and video editors known to man, you're going to get something that, you know, at a very like most common denominator level will trigger the reptilian brain of like the people that are watching it. And that's Trump's thing. It's like,
yeah,
a visceral response. It's hitting like the animal instincts in you before you actually have any like real thought processes about what's going on.
But just it's so interesting because, you know, some very smart person said, and at the beginning of Trump's campaign, like a lot of people were quoting this and I can't remember, but it's like American fascism won't come in like Nazis, you know, with swastikas and jackboots. It will come as like, you know, American pastimes. Yes. And then people started being like, oh yeah, baseball hats or whatever. But like, this is the distillation of it, because it's like everything I've hated about American cinema for the past 15, 20 years, like boiled down and like it's like black core like put onto a screen, where it's just like quick editing and like dumb prestige television silhouettes
exactly to the beat. It's like that thing where they do like in a movie trailer where it's exactly to the beat of the song. Like a lot of video editors, they're too pussy to use that technique because it's too powerful.
I mean, what's great about it is it allows me. I guarantee
Baron made this 100%. He whipped that up. He whipped that shit up in Windows Sony Movie Vegas. Maker in an afternoon.
Yeah. What really makes me like this is that it allows me to call all the movies that I don't like fascist for real. Because mm-hmm. I've been calling right them. There. Yeah, big plus for me, because now I can say Transformers is fascist.
But anyway, we haven't gotten even to the best part of this rally, right, which is that after the rally was done, all these supporters, hundreds of them, were bussed 15 miles from a parking lot to an airfield, right? On a freezing cold. This is Omaha, Nebraska. There's it's flat. It's tornado country. There's nothing. It's 27 fucking degrees out there. It's pitch black at night, and there's not enough buses to take them back to the parking lot.
So what happened?
Some of them went to the hospital for hypothermia. Some of them had to walk miles in the cold to get to a bus. Some of them cried and shit their pants.
Some of them had to go to the hospital for hypoglycemia. They didn't have enough candy bars.
Yeah, that's right. You got to carry a fucking Snickers with you, you old stupid motherfucker. If you're going to go to the Trump rally, you should know it's going to be a blockbuster event. That's like a Bruce Springsteen concert. 4 hours. You need to bring a meal.
All I'm saying is if you airdropped me a crate of food and a crate of guns into this just lost crowd of people, mm-hmm. I would have founded my own micronation by now.
Yeah,
the true. I mean, Pakistan
a bunch of them
emerges.
Called the cops. That's like right. They were so desperate for like a ride somewhere that they literally called the cops to come out to the field.
Police, take me somewhere. Take me to jail if you must. I just need to get out of this cold.
Can you take me home?
If they're that desperate, you could definitely recruit them into a micronation, or fuck it, just go straight cult. Why not? You make more money faster. Like,
yeah, just a cargo cult of people who wish they were still at the rally.
That's right.
It's just you're like your holy hat, like instead of yarmulkes, you wear MAGA hats and
just like waiting for Trump to come back, like with have a fake like helipad, and they're just on a ladder with the like coconut headphones on.
Oh, like from Gilligan's Island.
At every day at sundown, we play the Linkin Park music video, hoping he will come back out on stage.
Just if we sing it fervently enough and slow it down enough, he will finally return.
It's just like
after like 10 years, they find out someone's like, wait a minute, you guys ever seen the rest of the lyrics of this song? It's in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, oh my, it's like the John Cage, like as slow as possible song, but mm-hmm. they're just like a group of like 20, like 200 elderly people slowly saying it starts with one for 6 years.
The greatest funeral doom album of all time, locked by a moderator after 12,000 pages of heated debate.
I love this world. Oh,
well, speaking of, I guess, the something that drags on and on forever, this episode does not.
Yeah, this has been the regular episode of BB Bledis, which we didn't tell you that at the beginning.
It was so a regular
this is the
with
first
bonus
time
energy.
You've ever listened to BB Bledis. Hello. But
because
also
I've been drinking again.
Farewell. Thanks so much for listening to this show. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to hear more of this show, consider checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce. Please follow us on Twitter. We are on our third suspended account, but this one is real and alive, and it's at WeedPod.
Wait, third suspended account?
Well, technically second, but there was like a
technically seventh.
Okay. It's the same one. I didn't realize it was the third.
Yeah, there was a middle one where I tried to change it. LEEF. Remember, we were saying that for a second. But this one is WeedPod. Hopefully, it doesn't get suspended. We're trying to do good. We're trying to be good. Please, Jack, don't kill me. And follow us, all of us individually. You'll find our ats there. But otherwise, you can check out the Threadless. Buy some cool shirts. You can listen to my other show, Generation Loss, with Jeremy Hammond about movies. You can listen to John's other show, Work Stoppage. You can watch Left Trigger on
beeplettuce@threadless.com for stupid shirts that will make your family hate you at holiday dinner.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And otherwise, you can hang out with us on Facebook at beeplettuce mids posting, and we'll see you in the Discord.
Beep on, y'all.
Goodbye.
Keep beeping.
Bye.